Conference Committee on Senate File 1047 will be in order. Today is Tuesday, May 17, 2011. Members, we have a few technical amendments to consider, and then we can finalize this omnibus bill. Let's go to Mr. Shepherd. I believe we have something with the A60. Is that?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. The A60 amendment is some changes that Mr. Bodden and I noticed after the conclusion of the last meeting that we suggested for your consideration. You may recall that at the last meeting on the reduction in the state workforce on page 48, the committee had deleted the early retirement concept from the section. But in reviewing it, Mr. Bodden and I found there were a few references left to that early retirement incentive. So on the conference report, page 48, lines 20 to 22, there is a subdivision that refers to best practices in implementing early retirement programs that we're suggesting be deleted. And on page 48, lines 25 to 26, there had been language clarifying that elected official was not covered by the early retirement incentive. Now that there is no early retirement incentive, that language could be deleted. And finally, on page 48, lines 27 to 30, there had been a reference to the provision of an early retirement incentive in this Senate language stating that this implementation of the section is not an unfair labor practice, and we suggested deleting the reference to early retirement incentive there. The last line, Mr. Chair, on page 55, line 15, in one of the other staff in reviewing the bill pointed out to us in reviewing the House Journal that there had been a oral amendment made on the House floor to Representative Abler's CGIP incentive program, and that oral amendment did not get picked up in the engrossment. So the House position on that, on line 55, line 15, as the bill passed the House, it should have read, the Commissioner of Management and Budget may develop and implement a program that creates this CGIP incentive. And so the change suggested here would change that shall to may, which we believe reflects the original House position. That's the end, Mr. Chair.
Any discussion on the A60 amendment?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move the A60 amendment.
Representative Lanning moves the A60 amendment. Is there anyone that would like to make comment in the audience? Any further comments from the committee? Seeing none, all those in favor of the A60 amendment, say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. We have the A58 amendment. Would that be Mr.
Representative Lanning? The A58.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, members will recall, funding for this is in our budget that we have adopted, and apparently along the way, this was language that was intended to be a part of it and didn't get included. The commission right now is sunsetted to expire June 30th of 2012, and the recommendation from this bipartisan commission and the intent of this was to extend that sunset date to 2016.
Any comments on that? I believe this passed the Senate with the 2016.
I believe it did, yes. Thank you.
Representative Lanning moves the A58 amendment. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. We'll move on here to the A61 amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lanning.
Mr. Chairman, apparently this is language that is common where money that's not spent after the first year would be allowed to be carried over, and this is relating to the regional arts councils that are around the state, and so the language would allow them the money that we have in the budget. If there's something remaining after the first year, they'd be allowed to carry it over to the next year.
Any discussion on the A61 amendment? Anyone care to make comment? Representative Lanning moves the A61 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. We now have before us the A59 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Downey.
I'm going to withdraw the A59 amendment. We have the A62 amendment, which contains this language and some additional provisions.
Representative Downey withdraws the A59 amendment. We're now on the A62 amendment. Representative Downey.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I would move the A62 amendment, and members, just a brief description of that, explanation of it for you. You might remember that in our previous meeting, we did an amendment on the technology consolidation provision of the bill to make sure that any transition costs associated with that consolidation would be paid for with $1 million appropriation from the revolving technology fund. And subsequent to that, we received a revised fiscal note from the department, which is being passed out to you now, which proposes transition costs of close to $6 million. And members, I have some disagreements with the fiscal note. I'm not sure that when we bring 1,800 state employees together that somehow we've got to add 12 new employees to manage the transition. It seems to me we would have the skills and the personnel within that group of employees to do it. But nonetheless, it is the fiscal note. We need to deal with it. And so this amendment does a couple of things. Number one, it gives the department a little bit of time that wasn't in the bill to make some of the transition here. Hopefully that might take some of the hard edge off of the transition. And then it also just generally says that any expenses related to this transition, i.e. the entire $6 million, would be funded through the Technology Revolving Fund. And as a way to try and kind of prescribe here in the bill where that the savings might come from that would fund these transition costs, we're talking about requiring the Chief Information Officer to reduce the number of agency CIOs down to not more than 15. I've heard different numbers, anywhere from 26, 27, even 32 agency CIOs. And so the hope is that as we make this transition, that the state CIO would be able to reduce the number of agency CIOs. That would drive some savings into the organization. And then very importantly, on line 1.3 of the amendment, there's a provision that's related to a number in the fiscal note, which was discussed in our last hearing as well. And the number is on the bottom of page 4 of the fiscal note. Members, you note that there's $500 million of projected IT projects that would all be coming over to the state CIO. And while some of those projects may be underway, some of the funds may be encumbered, not all of it is necessarily coming from the general fund. There could be other funds appropriated to it. But when you have $500 million portfolio of IT projects that you now bring together, there's an obvious opportunity for savings, deferral, maybe even canceling some of those projects as you bring the enterprise together. So we're saying that they can. It's not a a must, but they can take that and use that for savings on the to pay for the transition costs as well. So specifying the transition costs be paid out of the Technology Revolving Fund to meet the requirements of the fiscal note, and then doing a couple of things in the bill to make sure that they can see where the opportunity is to save enough money to pay for that.
Any questions or comments for Representative Downey? Anyone in the audience like to testify or make comments to this amendment? Seeing none, Representative Downey moves the A21 amendment. All in favor signify.
A62.
Oh, A62, excuse me. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Motion prevails. Next on the agenda is the A21. I was trying to sneak that in underneath you there, Representative Downey. Being a little concerned that the amendment we previously adopted in this conference committee might increase costs for the RFP process and then open up the doors for a less qualified vendor, I'm proposing the A21 amendment, which is the House language. The compromise start dates and replaces the auto adjudication platform with process. That opens it up slightly while staying within the parameters we are told will produce quality auditors. So the goal being, of course, would be to get the best possible result here. So I would move the A21 amendment. Mr. Stenzer,
thank you, Mr. Chair.
Representative.
I would just maybe discuss opportunity for an oral amendment on line 1.25. I know when we had testimony from Mr. Morocco from CGIP, I know he was concerned with some of the limitations that we put in our language. I want to make sure we don't limit it too far. And if we could, I would make an oral amendment on line 125 and 126, just the words "for other states," I think may give us what we will look and not exclude some good vendors that are may not meet that particular criteria.
All right. Mr. Shepard or Bonner, is that Mr. Bonner? That's fine. That works. On the Stenford oral amendment to the A21 amendment, any further discussion? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Oral amendment prevails. Any further discussion on the A21 amendment? All those in favor of the A21 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. We are to the A63 amendment. This is the county auditor language change to push fiscal cost out of the next biennium. Who?
Mr. Chairman.
Representative Lanning.
I understand that the Association of Minnesota Counties is okay with this change, and Mr. Matthews is here if he wishes to address that.
Anyone care to address the A63 amendment? Any discussion from the committee? Representative Lanning moves the A63 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. We have before us the A45 amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Downey.
That's mine. And I couldn't even reconstruct the series of testimony and discussions that caused me to propose amending the bill in the first place, but it was subsequently clarified for me that the chargeback for the real property system change that I amended into the bill in our last meeting, I think, was not accurate. The agency actually has accrued $399,000 in their chargeback account. And so their intention in the bill was simply to be able to carry that forward and use that in the upcoming year as compared to asking for a general fund appropriation. So what we're doing, I think, is restoring the original language, which basically just says they can use that $399,000 that they have already charged the agencies for the real property system. They can carry that forward and use it in the upcoming year as compared to charging back additional. And Mr. Shepard, if I've misdescribed it in any way, please let me know. But that's the intention here, is just to get it back in the form that it needs to be for the department.
Any further discussion on the A45 amendment. Would anyone like to make comment on the A45 amendment? Seeing none, Representative Downey moves the A45 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. We have before us now the A22 amendment. Mr. Bonner, would you help on that one?
Mr. Chairman, the A22 amendment is another attempt to kind of bring together some of the different concerns on the tax offset language or the Department of Revenue offset language. And it makes a couple of changes. I'll try to highlight a few of those, and then there are some additional oral amendments that have been requested in order to do that. I think one of the, what I'll call to your attention are the new paragraphs B, C, and D that you see on the first page of the amendment. Paragraph B basically provides that the 60-day notice period is required. It eliminates some of the other procedural items that were called for in the language that the conference committee had previously adopted. Paragraph C basically cross-references the time period required for notice to allow the debtor to contest the debt. And paragraph D provides some flexibility in the fee authority that the Commissioner of Revenue would have, and states that there, as you'll see in lines 1.31 to 1.34, the fee could be, if there's an agreement to do this, up to 15% of the original debt. There on page 2 and 3, there are similar provisions incorporated in the parallel provision that was also included in the bill, including the effective date on lines 3.11 to 3.15. The amendments that are requested would be on page 1 of the bill. I think to streamline the process somewhat, on 1.19, what was requested would be to delete "in a certified letter." And then a little more complicated on line 1.26, after the period, to insert a new sentence that says, "The Treasury Offset Program agreement entered into by the state must not require federal agencies to provide different due process than the requirements under 31 CFR 285.6. So this just, that would basically specify that the federal due process requirements would apply to the offset agreement. That same sentence would need to be inserted on page 3 of the amendment on line 2 after the period, as I read it. It would fit there.
Mr. Bonner, would you just again go through that just so all the committee members are clear?
Certainly. On page 1, line 26 of the amendment, after the period, insert a new sentence that reads, "The Treasury Offset Program agreement entered into by the state must not require federal agencies to provide different due process than the requirements under 31 CFR 285.6. That's a citation to the federal regulation. And that same sentence would be included on page 3, line 2, after the period. And then just repeating what I said earlier, and actually I think this needs to occur in two places. On page 1, line 19, there's a very short deletion. Just delete "in a certified letter." And then on page 2, line 31, delete "in a certified letter." Those are the additional changes that were requested to the A22 amendment.
Any discussion from the committee?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Downey.
Thank you. I just want to make sure I'm kind of connecting the testimony we heard from the department last time and this amendment. And I'm not sure if this is for Mr. Bodern or whom, but just to confirm that this language reflects some coming together of the department with their concerns in the original intent of the provision as it was authored. I don't know if Mr. Biden or somebody can just give me some
your
quick verification that that's true.
That's Representative Downey, that is true. This is the language that we've gotten from the Revenue Department, and I don't know if they want to make any comment, but I believe please state your name.
Mr. Chair, members, for the record, my name is Terry Steenbluck, and I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Individual Taxes. And we would like to thank you, especially Mr. Nessie, for working together with us to come up with language that worked for both parties. We do want one opportunity just to have our legal staff look through it this morning, but we appreciate your willingness to work with us, and thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much, Representative Downey.
Mr. Chair, does this new language have any impact on the fiscal note that was provided or some of the original going-in assumptions about the revenue opportunity available here, or are we still living in that gray area of the original fiscal note and other assumptions?
Ms. Steenblatt.
Mr. Chair, Representative Downey, it does not have an impact to the fiscal note.
Thank you.
Right. Any further discussions? Senator Daley moves the oral amendments to the A-22 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. Now, on the A-22 amendment, is there anybody that would like to testify or make comments on the A-22 amendment? Any further discussion from the committee? Senator Daley moves the A-22 amendment. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Amendment prevails. Are there further amendments by the committee? Senator Daley.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to get a clarification. I know we already passed this, the A-63 amendment. Just to make sure I understand the rationale, the two words even numbered and the implication there, instead of August 1st of the year immediately preceding the, why did we add even numbered?
Mr. Chairman, perhaps we should call Mr. Matthews down to address that.
Mr. Chair, the reason I ask is because they're on a three-year cycle when they do the audits to the local CPA firms, and if they're on an even-numbered year, that's one thing. If it's an odd-numbered year, they'd have to do it August 1st, almost a year and a half prior, if we leave even-numbered in there.
All right. Please state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Joe Matthews, Association of Minnesota Counties. My understanding is that the change we're making in law would not impact the counties that are already using private CPA firms. And what we're trying to do is make the process, I think, more accommodating so that we don't disrupt the appropriation process with the state auditor's office. This would basically give counties an opportunity every 2 years to come on or go off of the state auditor's audit process. And so this was our attempt to try and find a way to do that. And the auditor, I think, described in great detail the process by which she has to backfill the appropriation of the general fund through the audit fee. So that was our intent.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Matthews. Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. I'm going to have a nonpartisan staff explain this. Members may recall last time we were together, we did an amendment to do a reduction to CGIP in the amount of $90,009,000. And the intent was to provide some additional spending reductions to give our negotiating team, so to speak, some help in working with the numbers. No need to go beyond that. Because of some changes in fiscal notes and some other things, I don't think we fully accomplished what we intended to do, or at least that's I didn't accomplish what I intended to do. And so we've spoken with nonpartisan staff, and I'm going to have Mr. Lundeen explain it, but in order to accomplish what we wanted to, we would need an amendment that would direct the agency to take $24,779,000 out of CGIP. And if I may, Mr. Chairman, I would ask to have Mr. Lundeen and Mr. Bodern explain that. They can do that with much greater clarity than I can.
Mr. Lundeen.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. If you take a look at page 15, what's being referred to in the amendment is the amount on line 15.9. This is the amount of the appropriation reduction for executive branch agencies, and we have $94.875 million in there. And the intent of the amendment is to increase that to $119,654,000. And where that number comes from in your packets, I believe everybody should have a document that came from MMB. It's similar to the one we had the other evening, looking at the combined interactive effects of all the proposals in the conference committee that are going into this reduction. And the document is dated 5/16. And if you take a look at this, and MMB went through and reevaluated the effects of this to come up with the savings. So the amount of savings for the deputy commissioner, assistant commissioner, legislative liaison reduction is slightly over $8 million. The reduction for the 15% FTE reduction is $6.5 million. The salary freeze is just slightly over $14 million. The CGIP savings of just slightly more than $90 million. And then the savings for the CGIP dependent audit, which is slightly over $1 million. And so if you add up those, all of those items, that comes up to the $119,654,000. And then we are excluding from that the costs associated with the strategic sourcing and the building and fleet management fiscal notes. So the $118 million there would be increased by $1.5 million by taking out those items.
Mr. Bonner?
Mr. Chairman,
okay.
All right, so I would move this amendment. I don't know how you want to go about that, how you want to describe the language.
Total. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman and Senator Thompson, it's pretty straightforward. On page 15, line 9 of the draft conference committee report, delete $94,875,000 and insert $119,654,000.
All right, and that difference is then the $24,779 that I referred to.
Correct.
Mr. Chairman, I would move that amendment.
All right. Representative Lanning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator Thompson, I understand that you had a different interpretation of the action that we took the other night, and I felt that we made a final decision that the number would be $94,875,000. To move that number up, I think, changes the target, the working target that we have been given by Senate and House leadership. And seems to me, reflect the other things that we've passed that are still a bone of contention with the administration. We have booked in our spreadsheet $133 million, which we still believe is achievable on the tax analytics proposal. We also have booked $36 million on the offset, which the administration feels is overstated by 30 some million. And in addition, the department has told us that our budget proposal will result in a loss of $111 million in revenue that would come from compliance activity because of the reduction in the workforce. And so we've got a challenge to negotiate with the administration when we still have those major issues. 169 plus 111 brings it up to $270 million gap. And for us to adjust the target at this point, I think, is not advisable. So I would speak against the motion?
Senator Thompson.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Lanning, I understand there are challenges that the administration has posed with respect to our numbers, and that would be the intent of this, would be to give us some additional room to work with numbers that I think are pretty much irrefutable. And so I would therefore request that the members support the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Vandiver.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think Senator Thompson made the point that I was going to.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Downey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just wondering if I can get clarification on a couple of numbers. Maybe it's Mr. Lundin or Ms. Roberts, I'm not sure. But on the spreadsheet, the 516 spreadsheet, where we are talking about the costs of strategic sourcing and state building and fleet management and taking that $1.5 million out, do we book any savings in our bill from those initiatives, or are those just simply costs attributable to the fiscal notes without any booking of the savings?
Mr. Lundy.
Representative Downey, we are not booking any savings for those initiatives in the bill or in the spreadsheet.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any further discussion from the committee? Anyone in the audience like to make comment? On the Thompson, I believe it's an oral amendment. Is that correct? Is that how we process? On the Thompson oral amendment, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
No.
Motion prevails. Any other amendment prevails?
Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, could we ask for a division?
Roll call, Mr. Chairman.
Roll call.
Roll call has been requested and granted. Roll call has to, I've been advised, roll call has to be requested before, so we will do a division. All those in favor of the oral amendment, raise your hand. Thank you. All opposed, raise your hand. Motion does not prevail. Any further discussion? Anyone from the Dayton administration interested in making comment? Representative Lanning, any final comments?
No, Mr. Chairman. I want to thank you and members of the conference committee. We've done a lot of good work, and we now look forward to finding out finally what the administration is willing to do. And Mr. Chairman, I want to say at this point, too, that you and I both have been indicating to the administration that we've wanted to negotiate on some of these things before we actually closed out the bill. And we were not getting anywhere with that request. And then it appears as though last Friday there was an opening where the governor indicated that he may be willing to do that. And now we find out over the weekend and find out yesterday that the governor is holding firm to his position, that he doesn't want to negotiate with us. I think that's very unfortunate. we have, I think, fixed some of the things that I know the administration had concern over, but we could have been fixing a whole lot more. And now we will have a bill go through the House and the Senate and be voted upon, and basically we'll have to start all over without knowing the administration's position on many of our initiatives that we have in this bill. I think that's unfortunate. I think it raises the possibility that, and increases the possibility that we're not going to be able to get all of this resolved by next Monday, and that is most unfortunate. But Mr. Chairman, you and I have been together on that, and we did not get the governor to come around to that, but we'll just have to see what happens next. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Senator Daley would move to instruct staff to make the necessary technical changes to the document to reflect the committee's intent. I believe we have to move on that. Is that correct? All those in favor of that signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Same sign. Thank you. It prevails. Final comment before I adjourn this committee. I am disappointed. I'm happy that we all worked together so well to put this bill together, which will move forward. As the reviser, we'll prepare the conference committee report for signatures, and we'll post that document as soon as we can. Once again, I believe our governor had an opportunity to lead, and he failed us, and I am so disappointed. This is strike number two. He did it the first time when he tried to use the veterans as political pawns. He has got to quit these games, and our governor needs to come forward and do what's right for the people of this state. So I am disappointed, but we will move this bill forward. This meeting is adjourned.